Wow. Welcome to the NetMums podcast, where real parenting conversations happen. We are back with series 19, talking about all the stuff that really matters to parents, the juggle, the pressure, and how we all make it work in real life. I'm JB Gill, a dad of two.
And I'm Louise Burke, the editorial director at NetMums. We try and make it work, don't we, JB? I say that sucking on a Strepsil today because I am so run down with the sore throat. It's been a lot recently, what with SATs and SATs exams and juggling kids and stuff. How about you? What's your week looking like?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very busy. I literally had the week from hell last week. I was here, there and everywhere. Similar to you, I'm coming down with, I've been down with something or the other. But like you say, it's the work never stops. You just keep it moving.
You were at Chelsea Flower Show yesterday.
Yes, I was. Yeah,
Chelsea's rubbing shoulders with David Beckham and the King.
Always. Well, actually, I've been with the King all week because I was at the King's Trust Awards earlier last week, and that was amazing. They had 50 years celebrating that, you know, and then obviously Chelsea Flower Show. I was actually at Chelsea with Chloe as well, so the logistics of organising all of that was full on. We definitely had to rely on the grandparents to make sure that we had everything in check and the kids were all well looked after.
Well, our guest today knows all about the juggle, doesn't she?
She does indeed. And I think it's something that we could all relate to be honest, because, you know, you're always trying to balance work, childcare and everything always in between. There's a multitude of clubs and activities that you're trying to sort the kids out for on top of all the stuff that you have to do, not just privately, but professionally as well. And let's be honest, it's only Tuesday this week, isn't it?
I know, it feels like it should be Friday. No, we all have to work and make it work as well. But today we're talking about motherhood in a high-pressure career and what it really looks like behind the scenes.
Yes, and joining us is one of the UK's leading sports broadcasters. And you'll probably know her from shows like Match of the Day, Football Focus and BBC Radio 5 Live as well.
Oh yeah, she is all over. When it comes to footy, she is all over it. And she's also a mum of a 2-year-old daughter and is currently reporting from the sidelines at the World Cup with a toddler in tow. Yeah. So today we're speaking to Kelly Summers. Welcome, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello, thank you for having me. That makes me sound like I've literally got my toddler pitch side. To confirm, she will be staying in the Airbnb throughout. But yeah, I'm dragging around America. I'm not sure if that makes me a good mum or not.
And there was me going to ask you if I could be your toddler.
It's not as glam as it sounds, although, I mean, one day I hope. She's not going to remember any of it, is she? But true. I hope one day I'll be able to look what you did.
Yeah. So just to remind listeners now, so we're obviously talking to you ahead of the World Cup, but when this podcast comes out, the World Cup will be full on live and kicking. So how are you feeling about going out there with, I mean, are you taking the whole family in tow as well to help you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a juggle. And to be honest, it's the second time I've done it because at Euro 2024, she was 7 months old. But that Euros was a lot easier because it was in Germany. And this is obviously
closer
in USA,
to home.
Canada and Mexico and is a lot longer. And actually, you'll know from having children, sorry if you're listening to this and you think the first year is hard. I actually think toddlerhood is harder because at least she was 7 months old. We could just push her around.
Still.
She was just happy to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas now she's 2.5. She's running. She's a toddler. She's brilliant. And you know what? As far as toddlers go, she's pretty easy and she's good company. But yeah, it's the second time I've done it. And Germany was different because we actually flew out there. Then my partner, my mum flew out because obviously flights were like £100. It wasn't expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then my partner flew back and drove the car out over a few days.
Oh,
so
cool.
We could just have everything you need. And then we had his mum come, my mum, and it was a bit of a holiday for everyone. It was lovely. But this time, America, I'm still doing that, but on a lesser scale. My partner's coming out, coming back. My mum's coming out, coming back. And then my partner's doing the end.
I'm feeling like, have you got a spreadsheet going on about this?
No, I've just got a brain that's about to explode. It's not as scary as it sounds. It's not as, the only thing is England are based in Kansas throughout. So I'm looking at it as we're just relocating to Kansas for 6 weeks. But obviously England could go out at any point.
Yeah.
And then I stay out there. That was a conversation I had with the BBC. And because a lot of their production's coming from Salford, there's not loads of us out there. So they actually said that they were like, we're happy to keep you out there if you want to. Because I said, there's nothing worse than England getting knocked out in the 95th minute and me sitting on Skyscanner trying to find flights next day for my mum. Do you know what I mean? Now we know we go on this day, we come back on the 20th. It's just the in-between and we're going to be adaptable and it's all going to be fine.
Do you know what? It's funny that you say that because I've worked away from home as well, actually. He's probably about a similar age, actually, I think, to your daughter. He was two and a half, and we were working on a show called Dance, Dance, Dance. So we were out in Amsterdam, and it was a similar sort of thing. My parents-in-law had to drive our car out to Amsterdam. They effectively acted as nannies, if you want to call it that, and kind of looked after us while both Chloe and I were in the studio, you know, filming and recording and doing all the things we were doing for that. And then it was sort of like in the afternoon or the evening, if we had a little bit of downtime, that was kind of when we got to sort of spend time with him. Is that what it's going to be like for you? How much planning are you having to go into in order to actually pull this off and make it happen?
Yeah, it's quite a lot of planning, but I think what's key with tournaments as well is you don't fully know what's going to happen and you just have to embrace it. Things can come up. So I've got a schedule, and the FA are brilliant, and they've given like a schedule of when, obviously, we know when the games are. So the other thing is we're flying to Kansas on the 10th of June. And then England actually play quite late, which helps. The World Cup starts on the 11th. They're doing a pre-tournament camp in Florida and Miami. 3-4 years ago, I'd have been going, BBC, please, can I go? Can I go? I'll be there. It was too much for me this time. And the games aren't on BBC anyway, so it didn't make sense. We're sending just a couple of other crew members. But I fly out on the 10th, and the first game is the 17th. And so every game, I have to fly the day before and then fly back the day after. I just can't fly on the day in case I miss the game, in case flights. Oh. But it's not worth it. But I'm flying back at like on the 6 a.m. flight the next morning. So the FA have sent us a schedule where I can see, oh, this day there's media access. This day there's nothing. This day we're just watching training. So I've got all of that. But obviously, this is the biggest World Cup ever. There's games across the BBC constantly. They will request like packages for half time, live updates into other. So although I vaguely can go, oh, I've probably got a day off there, you don't really know.
You never know what's going
to
happen.
And it's just constantly going, okay, I think I'm off. But that's why like I always have to have someone out there. I can't say, oh, actually, Max, my partner, you can fly home that day. I've got a day off there. Mum can fly back the next day. Like it just, there's always someone there. I'm always available.
Yeah, you're both very lucky that you've got parents, grandparents who will step in, because not everyone either has grandparents around.
How do people have kids without grandparents? Like, I'm so grateful. How do they do it without parents? I know. Hats off to, I'm so lucky.
It would cost you a fortune to hire a nanny and take them out for, you know, 6 weeks.
I wouldn't.
To help you look after
kids. It really does.
Yeah. I am just so lucky. Like, I'll never forget Gabby Logan, actually, obviously one of the best sports broadcasters in this country, mum of twins. She texted me when she saw my pregnancy and she gave me some really lovely advice. It was a really nice message out of the blue. And one of the things she said was, it takes a village. Our job is visible. You can't hide away from it. Accept the help when you've got it. And it's such basic advice, but it's always stuck with me. Like, I have got the help, so I have to use it. And I'm not moaning at all, because I'm really, really lucky, and a lot of people aren't.
But do you think if you didn't have, I mean, you said briefly then, but if you didn't have your parents to help, or Max or Max's parents, would you have been able to return to work as quickly and to take on the jobs that you're able to do?
It's funny, because if you'd have asked me before I had my daughter, I'd have said, well, yeah, I'll just get a nanny. Yeah, I'll just get a childminder. Yeah. People leave their kids all the time. I was that person that said that. But I think you only know when, you don't know how you're going to feel until you become a parent.
And the moment
I had my daughter, it's such a cliche, isn't it? But the way your brain changes, only recently, so she's 2.5. She only started preschool last month because I didn't want to leave her with someone outside of family.
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. Now she's there, I'm like, why didn't I do this before?
Do this
it's been great for her. It's been great for me. It's great for both of us. But so before I had her, I was like, well, if mum's not around, I'll just have a nanny. We still don't have a nanny. Like, it's taken me a long time to get to grips with that idea. So in short, no, I probably wouldn't have been able to.
But then the cost of preschool's huge as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, having your kid in in preschool. Not everyone, you know, can afford that because it is so costly, but it's super helpful. I think there was a skit on social once and it was like a clip where a comedian was like, should we put the kid in like for half, just half a day a week, just half? And then it's like slowly as they do it,
I've seen this.
Okay, 5 days, please. 5 days. I'll take the 5 days. Yeah.
But she, I think she, your daughter's one of the older ones as well. And my son was quite old. So by the time he got to four, he was ready to be in school. And he still had a full year before he was able to join. So it was really, really difficult because he was more than prepared, more than ready. And you kind of just, you know, biding your time, almost wishing it away, which is not a great thing to do. But do you know what I mean? Because you're like, he's ready. He needs to go in.
He needs to go to school. So you talked about how becoming a mum shifted your perception on how you'd look after your kids and the juggle of work and the balance of work and children. But has it also shifted your perspective of work and your career having a kid?
Yeah, massively. I know that I still need work. Like I love what I do and it's a big part of my identity, but it's not the most important thing. It's, and again, I know that sounds like you're stating the obvious, but ask any of my friends from when I moved down to Bournemouth when I was 21, took a job in their media department, away from home, didn't know anyone down there, worked 6 day weeks. Like we'd literally do Monday to Friday, travel to Hull or Preston or somewhere ridiculous on a Saturday. I'd have a Sunday off and then I'd go back into, I dedicated everything. Then in my spare time, I started trying to make a showreel, reporting. I literally dedicated my, from 21 to 30 to that really. Mm-hmm. And then I missed so many social things and that was all I ever wanted. And I knew I wanted to be a mum, but it was like, it wasn't the be all and end all. I was just, it'll happen one day. And then I found out that it might not be as easy to have children and it shifts your perspective. That's the first shift that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think when you're used to, when you're so driven in your career, you think you can plan everything and you think you can plan having a baby. And it just, you just have to go with it. And I remember everyone, like, because obviously a lot of the bosses at work, all the places I work are parents and they're going, yeah, yeah, okay. But they rolled with it with me and they enabled me. I went and did again. Yeah. And actually driving up there, I felt awful. I was like, why have I done this? What am I doing? But she was with my mum and my partner. Mm-hmm. And I remember the titles running and going, do you know what? I'm not as prepared as I usually am. But doesn't really matter. This isn't the most important thing anymore. And that's the best game I think I've ever presented to this day. Because I was free. Really? I wasn't burdened by, if this goes wrong, my life is over. I just, it was really, I can remember the perspective shift in those titles running. I can remember that moment of going, this doesn't matter. The more important thing is that I pump at half time and ensure my supply doesn't go down. And if you'd have told me that 6 weeks before, I'd have been like, oh, shut up.
Absolutely not. So would you say that it's changed your ambition then, or just the way you approach the things that you're ambitious about?
No, it's, if anything, it's sharpened my ambition because I'm determined to show you can do both. I'm so lucky to have the people around me. Like my mum is literally an angel. My mum's a massive football fan and I'm really lucky because she understands, she gets it. She wants to hear about it. She wants to be part of it. I think she loved in the early days, I did take my little girl with me and my mum, I think my mum just likes it. I remember her seeing Thierry Henry and walking past him and being like, how about? And I was like, mum, stay calm. But I also like that she was getting to see that side of it. So I'm really lucky that my partner works in football as well. So we all understand the importance of it. And my career hasn't stopped. It's carried on going. And so I think I've shown that you can do both. You're just more efficient. I think every parent will say that. You are more efficient when I am on it. And that's why preschool's helped me a little bit because, so she's at preschool right now. It enables me to talk to people like you guys and to keep my brain going. And then when she comes home, I've had a couple of hours of work stuff and I'm, I think I'm a better
mom
for
be with her. Yeah. I think Paris Fury said that, didn't she? She said, like, if you have that nursery time or childcare, use it. Like, do your work, do what you need to do, be organised so that you're...
I almost crammed too much, I'm going to be honest.
You plan too much, I was going to ask about when you mentioned then about sort of pumping in the loos or whatever you're doing it whilst you're in between broadcasts.
So glad.
You know, we all have to do it. But obviously football, I know we've got the Lionesses and women's football teams and there are some female football managers, but it is... mainly male dominated. How do you feel as a working mom in that environment and then having to, you know, I don't know whether you have to seek permission to go off and breast pump or do you feel?
I think maybe they just thought I went to the toilet and had a bit of a problem with my tummy or something, because I just went up and I was sitting in the toilets. It was at Aston Villa and it was in the posh hospitality toilets.
And oh, well then, that's
if
all right.
Anyone's listening, yeah. But I still was like, this is a bit weird, isn't it? Like, this is really odd. And I'm sure other mums will relate to this. That moment when you have to throw milk down the sink is so depressing that you've pumped, because it's like, this is liquid gold.
Yeah.
But if I'm honest, I didn't really think about it, because I was just like, if they want me to come to work, the broadcast that I was working for then were absolutely amazing. They booked me for a fair few bits across that period, because I said I wanted to be booked, and they had someone on standby for everything, and they checked in constantly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, they were really, really hyper aware. I was meant to be doing something the day after, and on the way back in the car, I texted my agent and said, I feel like I've been hit by a bus. I was like, I loved being on air. I was then desperate to get home. I was like, but that's me done for a while now. Like, I've done what I need to do. I almost had to do that day as well to go, this can work. I didn't. Mm, now right. I look back on it, that moment for me was actually this is wildly early. I'd had a C-section as well, by the way. So when they suggested I walk on the back of the stand to do a piece to camera, I was like, can't do that. But that was one day. But I did that one day, Jodie. And then I was like,
I actually,
I don't regret it. I didn't talk about it at the time because I was worried about shame and I didn't know how I'd feel. But now two and a half years on, I can look back and go, I know why I did that. I did that for me to go, I've still it's got possible. It. I can still do it. That world still works with this world, but I can leave it.
Yeah. But that's amazing that your employer was so supportive that it gave you space to go, I'm going to do this, but actually I'm a bit broken now, so I'm going to step away for a bit.
But there were people that I've known for years. The bosses there were like some of my first bosses in TV. So they knew that I don't shy out of things. I'm not quite an honest person. I'm kind of like that. I say if I can do something, I say if I can't.
Yeah.
Particularly since I've had my daughter, I'm pretty now. It doesn't work for me. It just changes the way you think of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, would that be a piece of advice then for mothers returning to work from you? Like, don't be afraid to just really say how you feel? Or
I want to say yes, but I also know that everyone is... It's not that easy, and I don't want to sit here and say, because I've had a good experience, everyone else has. I want to talk about the good experience to say you can have the good experience out there.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe that if you have really good relationships with your employer, and if... I only really now work for people that I really like and that understand my situation, because I think it's really important to me. I need to go to work knowing that the employer... I'll never forget, actually, this strikes back as well. There was another boss that I worked with. I was doing the England Games for Channel 4 at this point. It was done by ING Media, and I was heavily pregnant.
Are these all male bosses, by the way?
Yeah. And this is why I sometimes think men can get a hat. Not all men are great and understand it. But what you have to remember is that a lot of men are fathers, have seen their own wives go through it. Yep. And so there are some really understanding men out there. So I sometimes feel like when we hear of, this male boss didn't do it, I'm not saying people aren't telling the truth. There are some really understanding men out there. And I think it's changing now. And this male boss, I was sitting on a coach. I think we were doing England-Scotland in Scotland, and we're on a coach going from like the airport to the hotel or something. And I was very overcompensating with everyone. I'm going to be back. I was reminding everyone, I'm not going anywhere. I was so scared of disappearing and being forgotten. And he said to me, I remember him saying, you can disappear. You won't disappear completely. If you go, you go for a while and you come back. You've reached a level in your career now where you don't get forgotten about. And he said, some of the most rounded people in this industry are mothers, because they have perspective. Because they have life experience and they understand, being a mum makes you understand things you don't understand before. And I remember thinking, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
But and we're great multitaskers as well.
Yeah. And he said, don't assume that because you're a mum, everyone will assume you're useless again and that you've got baby brain and that you're a mum and nothing else. Women now, he was like, his wife was a broadcaster as well, which helped, I think. But actually that stuck with me. So I was really lucky at that point to be supported by employers. And like, I haven't even mentioned the BBC in this, but the BBC were amazing. I said, look, I'm not around November and December. I was due to be on air. I gave birth on a Friday night and I was due to be on air in Manchester on the Saturday.
Oh my God.
And Yeah, I was going to work right up until it. And when I pulled out, everyone knew, but they knew not to text me and for wait for me to text them. They just said, you come back and do what you want when you want. And I did a game at the beginning of January and I was like, actually, too early. And FA Cup round, they'd ring me and go, what do you want to do? This is where the game is. Mm. It's up to you. So I think that's all you can ask for, really, understanding.
Yeah. Mm. So did you, at that point, did you feel like you had to prove yourself because you'd become a parent? Or was that just a way of kind of, I guess, ticking it off, you know, and just saying, this is still possible.
Yeah. Be honest.
I thought I was going to think I had to prove myself. I really thought I was going to have to come back and go, well, I need to work straight away because I need them to realize I'm the same person that I was before. And actually having a baby is not going to stop me. I'm still available all the time. But actually, like I said, I did that first game. It reminded me that I, with a lot less prep, I'll say that now. I wouldn't have told them at the time that I prepped a lot less. And I don't now. Now I'm an over-prepper again. With a lot less prep, I was able to do that. So that gave me the reassurance. They were really happy with me that night. I was happy with myself. And it's very rare that I can say that. I actually felt really proud of myself. And I think that just gave me the confidence to go, if I can do that, then I'm going to be okay here. My big thing for me is I just need to keep communicating with the BBC because they are being so open and so helpful and they want to help me. I just opened that back. I went and did the games for them at the beginning of January because I love the FA Cup and BBC don't have live football and I hated missing out. And I did two games in 2 days, only local. My daughter was with her dad and it was the wrong thing. I remember someone there, one of the big bosses saying to me, you don't have to do this, Kelly. Come back when we get further into it. Have this time. These games are happening every year. And I was like, oh, he was quite a senior person. I was like, okay, maybe JV, then going back to your point, maybe I did think I needed to prove myself, but I didn't realise it.
Yeah, because if someone had to tell you, then maybe in honesty, you'd
was it more pressure to do it all? Did you feel that? Because, you know, sometimes you can...
Not as much as I thought.
Okay, well that's, because it doesn't sound like you're someone who gives in to pressure like that. But, you know, I'm sure we all feel it at times, you know, when you think to yourself, do you know what, if I don't
there's
do that...
There's a bit of people pleasing in all of us, right?
But, do you know what, there is. But also I think you get better at now. I have a real, like... I write a lot of lists and if I can't decide, even now, if I can't decide whether to do a job, because before, you know, before you're a parent, how much time do you have? You don't realise.
Yeah,
like,
don't realise.
What did I do with all that time?
Yeah, I know. Well,
actually, the answer there is I did work every job, whereas now I'm very, even last night, I sent a text to my agent. Something got cancelled this week and I'd had another request in. I'm not always this in demand, by the way. I'm so busy all the time. I'm not, it's very rare. And she said, I'll go back to this other company and say, you're available now. And then late last night, I was like looking at my week and I've got other things, I've got appointments now. And I said, actually, I'm available, but it has to have X, Y, and Z. It needs to be, they need to meet this criteria for me. And that's not being a diva. That's just me protecting my self-worth.
Boundaries.
And protecting boundaries. And that's what I think I'm better at now. I don't say yes to everything. I say yes to the right things. And I was saying this to someone else who's recently become a mum in the industry the other day. I said, mum guilt. Doesn't go anywhere, and probably dad guilt too. Like the guilt doesn't go.
True.
You just have to. Sometimes I imagine if I'd said yes to a job, imagine if I'd said no to a job, and then work out what the better feeling is. And I also think how I'll feel 3 weeks after the job, if I'll have care that I didn't do it, or if I'll think, oh, that was a good job to do. You just have to. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable and realize you're not going to get every decision right. Go with your gut.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger picture, isn't it? And ultimately, that's what I do as well. If I'm taking it or looking at a job, it's potentially going to take me away for a week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks or even longer sometimes.
You're in the same situation industry to me, aren't you, in terms of it's not normal hours?
No, exactly. I mean, it's all around the clock. It can literally be 3 weeks on and then 6 weeks off or vice versa. And, you know, funny, the other day I was away for about 5 days and my daughter was really happy because I called her and I said to her on Saturday, I'm coming home on Saturday. I might not be home before you're in bed, so I'll see you in the morning. And I meant Sunday morning. And I think she just heard Saturday and thought it was Saturday.
Oh.
And she woke up on Saturday morning and she was fuming. She didn't want to talk to anyone. But it's little things like that. And obviously, when I hear that story from my wife, life, I'm literally just like, oh my days. Obviously, I a little bit of a boo-boo messed that up. But do you know what I mean? It's that never goes if you're away for a week or away for 2 weeks, or even if you're away for a day. And, you know, especially obviously for UK, well, for all of us, you know, I'm sure I'm very hands-on when I'm at home. I do pickups, I do drop-offs, I go to their matches, I do all that sort of stuff. So it's a big deal when you miss that. And like you say, you've got to be really, I'm really strategic about what I choose and when I do it and why I do it. And ultimately, it's a whole, for me anyway, it might not be the same for everyone, but it's a whole family consideration, you know?
Yeah, it's a decision for the family because it affects the family,
My partner gets sick of me sometimes going, I've got this job to do, but I don't know. But I'm an overthinker and he's a lot more black and white. And I think that's why we work. Lucky that he understands it and he knows the value of me working, like literally financially for all of us. And I think it's made my daughter, she's used to being around other people. And
I don't know, sociable.
I just think that a lot of people say, oh my gosh, how do you do it with your job? It's such unsocial. Wow, it's so hard, isn't it? And I say, you can look at it like that, or you can flip it and go, I have the freedom to say no. I didn't have to put my daughter in to nursery at 9 months old. I could have if I wanted to. But a lot of my friends have not wanted to go back to work when their child is 9 months old. They've had to put them in nursery 5 days a week. I'm so lucky that, yes, I have to occasionally go away overnight. I don't have quite as much travel as you, JB, but it's... I still have quite long days, and sometimes, it means I don't get to put her to bed. But on the whole, this is today to do this. This is the first time I've not done preschool drop off. My partner's done it, so it's not like I've got a random to do it.
But
I'm very present. So when people say to me, it must be really hard, I go, well, I want to go to them. It must be really hard for you when you drop them off at nursery for the first time after 9 months. Like, it's all hard in different ways, and I try and focus on the positives that my jobs can bring.
So you've talked about how you decide about choosing jobs and weighing up the balance of is it worth it, but in terms of day-to-day life, have you decided to drop some balls because now as a mum and juggling work and family life, some things just aren't worth it, or lowering expectations around life?
If my partner was listening to this, he would say she's really messy, she doesn't tidy up after herself, which is it's probably true. I do now, when she goes to bed, I just tidy up everything, and I try not to, but the balls do get dropped. And I think it's just working out which is the one drill that the one
what bothers
ball that can
you
drop
and what
isn't
doesn't.
The glass that isn't the glass ball, as long as the glass ball doesn't drop, is the way I always think of it. Like,
so what's your glass
there are certain
ball
balls
then?
That can't drop. Well, her and her eating well and her it, that sounds so obvious, but as long as she I'm quite hot on her eating and like eating well, and I try and make better decisions where I can and home cook things, and that's important to me. It's important that she's happy, that I get some time to play with her. We moved into this house just over a year ago, and it needs to be renovated, and we've got nowhere with that, so that's probably the thing that is on the back foot at the moment. Life is busy, isn't it? And I don't know. I think probably messiness is in the house is probably what gets dropped.
I used to be, when I've got three kids, and when they were, I had three under three at one point, and so it was all quite intense.
Oh my gosh.
And I wasn't working at a point during those early years. And so I was just I was at the kitchen sink, knee deep in nappies, et cetera, et cetera.
I have so much respect for people that do that, by the way. So much. It's harder than going to work.
It's really hard. And I used to say, I used to like to have a tidy kitchen. So the mess thing was a bother to me because I felt, because I was in it all day. I didn't like it. So it used to stress me out. And I used to sort of, I guess, not want a perfect home, but I wanted it tidy because then I felt happier and more confident and positive. But then friends would say, Louise, just leave the dishes in the sink. Not like nothing's going to happen to those dishes all day. Just deal with it. Like, enjoy your day and just leave it. And I just can't do it because I had to have like things cleaned up in order for me to then crack on with my day, because I just wanted things like organized. But I guess that's all I was doing. Like, that was my job, was being at home and raising
also, I think,
kids.
I sometimes think as a mum there's an element of like where you have to embrace so much of it, but that is like almost you clinging to a bit of your identity of like, I am a tidy person, so much of my life
good
has changed.
At what I do the one as well.
But so much of my life has changed. I'm surrounded by children, but the one thing I've always done is I've had a tidy kitchen, and I want to keep that. So I can understand that. It's almost like a clamour for our own identity, isn't it? And our own
I think
there's so much as well that you can't control in parenthood. That you probably are like, I can control that kitchen. That's the one thing you've got control of. Not that I'm saying you can control your kids, but that's sometimes harder, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I look back at that and I think, yeah, she was right. I could have just left those like feeding bowls in the sink or the feeding bottles or whatever and left them and gone to the park. You know, because sometimes you are not doing the fun stuff or the present stuff. And I know.
But then I also think it's good for your kids to see you doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because someone's got to do it, right? The fairies don't do it. That's why I say now. Now they're sort of tweenagers and teenagers and they get up from breakfast leaving their plates around. I'm like, guys, come on, get it in the dishwasher.
Yeah. Ace is scuffing at the moment because I'm like, listen, you've got to clear the table.
I know. You've got to muck in. Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you for that. Obviously, you're doing lots of traveling over the summer. Do you have... ahead of the holidays for families, do you have travel tips with your toddler? Have you got any hacks for traveling?
Pray. do you know what? She's pretty well traveled. And travel tips and travel hacks. Do you know, I've seen one on Instagram recently that I'm going to get. I've not used before. Have you seen you can get like for an aeroplane, there's like an inflatable thing that you can blow up and it fills the gap between the aeroplane seat and the seat in front. So you can put this inflatable thing so they can like lie down and sleep.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. That is good.
I'm going to buy one of those. Before. I have no idea.
If your kid does sleep on a plane.
Yeah, like, is that. Yeah. yours not. But also, previously, on previous flights, my daughter was breastfed and now she's not. So that was always like, my partner always used to say to me, it was like go on, whip it out without Liza trying. Yeah. Because it was like the emergency. Yeah, whereas
absolutely.
Now, get them to sleep.
Chloe did exactly that. And it was, like you say, it's a dream.
Yeah.
He'd be like, another bottle of milk. Just do it. So they've got a full belly of milk.
Actually, now I think about it, I should have carried on the breastfeeding until this summer, really. I didn't really think about that. Snacks. I just am always prepared. Like we were talking last night, actually, about what we're going to pack for the US because for 6 weeks for a family, like I am on air, so the clothes, I've got a lot of stuff. And I actually said last night, I'm going to take her plane toys, but when we get out there, let's just go to a shop. We're out there for 6 weeks. It will be cheaper to just go and buy her a baby's pram. She's really into, she's in that era at the moment.
Yeah.
A cheap baby's pram, another dolly, some Lego. Like, I'm just going to rebuy it and then we'll go and donate it when we leave rather than.
Yeah.
But then equally, I was like, but we have got a 10-hour plane journey to get through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to buy her some little toddler headphones. She doesn't watch, I'm going to sound like a real witch of a mum here, but she doesn't watch a great deal of TV because I'm very aware of screen time. She watches a little bit and there's a time and a place for it. And I think one of those times and places is on a plane. I'll get some toddler headphones. Yeah, I don't really have hacks. I'm very lucky that she's good. I think snacks, toys, and I'm hoping this inflatable thing is going to send her to sleep.
Is she a good sleeper? Is she a good sleeper?
When she goes to sleep, she's good but getting her to sleep. And what we've actually noticed is she's worse at going to sleep for me at the moment, but she's a real mummy's girl. But the last few nights, my partner's put her to sleep and it's... Whereas with me, she'll just start going to me, oh, mummy, and start playing with my hair. She's very sweet. I'm like, mummy, you're beautiful. Mummy, I love you. Mummy, and it's lovely, but you know when you're like, it's 9:15.
Enough now.
Every other child was asleep 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So she's good when she gets to sleep.
And you mentioned food, that you're quite hot on food and how you feed your daughter. And you mentioned snacks on the plane as well. Are you one of these people that whips out the Tupperware on the plane with all these homemade snacks?
I will not. Oh, boy. Not on the I would love to be. I'm not that good. When I say I'm the food police, I read labels and I try and make better decisions, but I don't want to sit here
pretend
that I'm the perfect mum. Yeah, it's important, but we can't do it all the time. I try and make better decisions where I can, and I'm actually already thinking it's going to be tough in the US, actually, I think.
Yeah,
because also I'm used to over here what is good and what's not, and it's just different food.
There's a lot of
it?
Processed food in the US.
So we'll do a bit. Like I said, we're acting like we live there, so it'll be on the case of the first day going and getting.
Mm. Yeah,
like we're spending time in the supermarket and looking through. I'll look it up beforehand as well. But I'm not here for. fair play if you're a parent that can always homemade snacks and always make the perfect food decision, because it's very, very hard in the world we live in. So no, I might make a few little, she likes making these little healthy cakes with me. So maybe we'll make a few of those and take them. But on the whole, it'll be packaged snacks. I'm not under any illusions. The last few days before I go away are going to be chaos in terms of packing.
Busy.
I'm not going to have time to be baking in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it then. Let's talk about the World Cup. What are you most excited about? Of course, there's going to be lots of travelling about for you, I'm sure. But you're going to have the basic in Kansas with the family. What are your thoughts about that? And what are you most nervous about? If anything.
That's a good question. So, yeah, I'm nervous about quite a lot, actually. I think it's just the unknown. But, I mean, I think once we get there and we can see, I think it is just the unknown. It's not knowing. Like, at the moment, I know where the local shop is, where the local, like, you know where everything is should you need it. I think it's the unknown of that. But once we get there, we've done the first food shop, we've worked out where the local park is, we've worked out where, like, the local zoo is. I'm going to look up and see if there are little toddler groups and things out there, because I want her to feel normal. She needs to have children interaction. I'm conscious of her world. She's excited and she loves travel, and like, she came to the Euros in 2024. She came to Switzerland when the women's won the Euros only for a few days. And she came to New York last summer when I did the Club World Cup. So she's used to the travel.
And she's talking about going to America as well.
And being around a lot of people. She's quite sociable. But I'm conscious of, I just want to get there and imagine, make her world settled. And then once her world is settled, and that's why, I mean, like I said, we get there on the 10th. I don't think England arrive in Kansas until the 13th. So I've got a couple of days to just find everything. And then my mum comes out on the 14th. And 13th, 14th will be my first days of work. And I just feel like by then, like, we're going to get a hire car. Everything will feel... Yeah, it's the setup. So once those few days are done, I think I can breathe. And because I'll do all my prep work before I get there. And then I can just kind of go head first into the job, which is... Yeah. Pretty much my favourite job I do. I really, like, what a privilege to be England reporter. It's amazing.
Will the family get to go to any games, or will she be a bit too young?
She's a bit too young. So I'm a Watford supporter, and we took her at the end of the season. Poor girl.
Yeah.
But we got there. And I mean, Vicarage Road isn't the loudest. And we got there a little bit late. And when we sat down, we weren't close to the front. The first time Watford attacked, she burst into tears. And I was you just forget that you can't brace a child. Anyone else following the game knows it's going to get a bit louder because they're getting towards the goal. She's not following the game in the same way. She doesn't realise it. And she has got ear defenders, used at fireworks and things. And I should have taken those. So she's just a little bit young, though. She does love football. We take her to football. Yeah. But everyone says it's like, my mum, are we going to go to games? And my mum... It's like, well, no, unless you look after. No. If there's rights, there are other games.
That was clear, but.
There are other games in Kansas. And if I've got an evening off, I'll try and get to her. My stepdad's coming out too, so they could go to a game. But on the whole, no.
You mentioned that your mum is a fierce football fan. And I imagine that influenced you growing up and the career that you've now taken. And then obviously you've got your daughter now in tow and you're taking her to the Euros, the World Cup, and games. Is it really important to you, which is great, is it really important to you that she sees the world of football and has role models within the world of football? And obviously we've got the brilliant Lionesses, but how is it a purposeful sort of, you know, you're doing this with an intention that she has her eyes open to the world?
I don't think it is, actually. Do you know what? That's the key phrase, actually. I want her eyes open to the world, and I want nothing to be out of reach. And I'm so grateful to the Lionesses. I'm grateful, firstly, like, my mum has been a season ticket at Watford since she was 5 years old. That was in the 1960s. I can't imagine there was many young girls going there then.
No.
My mum has always been a football fan. Her mum was a football fan. So I'm immensely lucky that, like, there's all these amazing role models now. But I had all of these role models, but my mum never forced me into it. I didn't go to my first football game till I was 8, and I only went because Watford were in the playoff final and I begged to go because everyone at school was going. My mum didn't force it. My mum went every weekend. Well, she had a break when I was really young. But my mum and my nana and my granddad then went, and I wasn't interested, but that was fine. It was never forced on me. It was me in the end that said, no, I want to try that world. And I just feel a responsibility, and I feel like a lot of parents feel like this. Our responsibility is just to open our children's eyes to as many things as possible and let them choose. There is no pressure. My partner works in football as well, so she knows daddy goes to football. She knows mummy. She just thinks mummy does podcasts. That's what she talks about, podcasts. I'm like, but you've seen on the TV, I do that as well.
He hears it, yeah.
Yeah, and also often I do it like situations like this where she's upstairs and I'm doing a podcast. That's the beauty. That's another thing that makes this whole world a lot easier, that you're working when you can do stuff from home, by the way. We're very lucky.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
COVID didn't have many benefits, but I think it's helped a lot of parents.
It did shift things a bit.
I don't desperately want her. If she wants to go into football, amazing. All I want her to know is that if she wants to, it is there. She goes to ballet on a Saturday morning as well, and she loves dancing. Like, whatever she wants to go in is fine by me, but I just want her to know that I did this, so if you want to, cool, no problem otherwise.
It's early days. I'm gonna hand you over to JB for a quick fire little question.
They're not difficult questions, I promise, Kelly. But yeah, if you're ready. It's quick fire time.
Yep, go.
Okay, one word to describe motherhood.
Bonkers.
Good word. I've not had that one.
I didn't want to go negative, and I didn't want to go positive. Like it's. I didn't want to say chaos because then it sounds like it's bad. It's not. It's or maybe unpredictable.
Love that. Your biggest parenting fail so far, if you've got one.
I've got loads, but I think they've blocked them out of my mind. This makes it sound like I haven't got any. I've got loads.
We'll come back to that one. One thing that you think makes the juggle easier?
Parents, family.
Parents, yeah, that's a good one. Absolutely. One thing you've completely let go since becoming a mum?
If anyone sees me out and about where I live, I'm sorry. The days when I'm not at work, because I have to wear so much makeup for work, I look like a scruff. Hair on top of my head, no makeup on, big glasses on, tracksuit. Me. That's what I've let go of.
That's the mum uniform, right?
Brilliant. Love that. Okay. One thing that no one warned you about when it comes to parenting.
People say it's full on, but I don't think you understand the mental full-onness of it.
Mental load.
Someone described it to me, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is like a computer with loads of tabs open, and I just always feel like that, and sometimes that can really get on top of me, and I have to write things down. Like, I write lists like never before. You can say that you can be warned of the mental load, but the reality of the mental load only becomes known when you are a parent.
Fair. Okay, sure. This is the last one. It's not really quick fire, but it's a good one to end on, I think. Dream day off.
Well, I should say a lovely day at the farm with my daughter. Do you know what though? A day off for me does involve her, because actually, as much as we all need time away from our children, and it really helps us. I really enjoy the days where she goes to preschool in the morning. She only goes for 3 hours because I know she's then been educated, fulfilled, literally constantly entertained and kind of stimulated. But then I also need, like, I've really value after the end of a busy week. She's got a trike and we walk 15 minutes to the park. And that walk, she chats away and she commentates on everything. And actually, I've realised for me, that's
priceless.
Quite a good place for me, because it takes me into a world, into her world. So I don't know. Or
I'm like you. I think, you know, especially when you've got a busy life and you're working and you're away and whatever, like for me, dropping the kids at school and obviously having that 6-7 hours or whatever it is where I can do stuff with Chloe, or we can even go on like a breakfast date. Like, dinner dates just don't exist anymore, so do you know what I mean? A breakfast at wherever, a little posh brunch somewhere, or even
I think having a conversation
London.
Where you can finish the sentence before someone interrupts you.
And also I think it's about balance too, isn't it? Like, I could say the Soho Farmhouse one, like escape for a day, but actually having a day where you've seen your kids in the morning, so you know they're okay and you know they're happy, but then you and your wife get time. And I think it's about balance and knowing I've catered to all of the people and all of the needs, and I've filled my own cup and I've done the things that I should do. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, well, listen, you are smashing it, as every parent listening to this is smashing it as well. And you're certainly smashing it on a professional front. And we're wishing you all the very best with the World Cup. I'll definitely be tuning in and watching.
Yeah, I'll be following you on Insta for a little World Cup diary.
Yeah, and fingers crossed for England.
If Insta goes quiet, it's because I'm struggling.
Well, she's not posted for a few days.
We'll send messages of encouragement.
Not posted any homemade recipes.
All good. Well, all the best with it.
Thanks for having me. Guys.
That was great. Thank you, Kelly.
Ah, wonderful.
Wasn't she great? You know, what I loved about Kelly Summers just there was really giving an honest take of that return to work feeling when you're feeling like pressured to be your old self, go out there, smash it. But actually you are torn in honesty after having this baby. And she waited for that baby. She waited, you know, a few years for that baby with various struggles. So I thought, yeah, kudos to Kelly for opening up about that. I really enjoyed that chat.
Yeah, well, it's bespoke, isn't it? You know, and you can clearly see that she's very highly ambitious. She's very driven in her career, but also family life means a lot to her, you know. And I think, you know, I can definitely resonate with her and some of the things that she's feeling, because of course you're ambitious and you want to achieve things and you've got to earn money for the family, but at the same time,
you get that little squidgy little toddler in your hand, baby or toddler in your hand, important thing. You can't say no.
That's the most important thing. You know, they're the ones that will be there when, you know, when you're too old to work. And, you know, for me, I think to protect that in its earlier stages is really, really important.
Yeah, it was great. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you give us a follow or share it with another parent, and we will see you next time.
You will indeed. Bye.
Bye.